Dan, welcome back for the 9 o'clock hour, man. As hour left here in the weekend, be a Dolphins training camp. Hope I get to see everybody out there tomorrow that gonna be watching and scouting and watching all your favorite players to see what it looks like and guys trying to earn starting jobs or make the team and across the board with all the new faces and guys getting a chance, especially at the cornerback position.
And they do have one addition this offseason that's fascinating for fans and will be helpful. They have what they call, I think I can say, big ass fans. And it's that's actually
what,
the name of the
fan.
They have the name of the fan. It's up where you seat up above in the roof, these huge fans to cool everybody down.
Oh, show. I thought you said, like, when you said that, like, big ass fans.
Yeah.
So if you got a big ass, you know, I didn't know what you were saying. You scared me there.
Yeah.
Okay.
But huge fans. Biggest fans I've ever seen.
You got to sit up high to get the
You don't. They're so – oh, yeah. But now with these big-ass fans, you can sit anywhere.
It's funny the way you're saying it. You're taunting me a little bit. You're taunting me to go down a dirty road, and I won't do it.
Trying to get you there. It's usually easy, Joe.
I'm an easy target. No. Everybody knows, you know, how to pull the strings. So two things here real quickly before Mike Florio joins us. First of all, we got a big soccer game tomorrow in Fort Lauderdale. Cincinnati's in town. Really good team. Beat us up pretty good here, a week ago? So Messi and Alba said, we ain't playing in that All-Star game. Rule says you don't play in the All-Star game, you don't have a medical excuse or a personal excuse, you're not allowed to play in the next game. Does Messi go, shut up, I'm going to play?
I think I think there should be medical or Messi. You're okay, right? There's a Messi exemption, I would think, and that would cover Alba too, because the league doesn't want to get into it with Messi.
Well, you got a great game tomorrow. You do, between two of the better teams.
So what you're doing is penalizing people who paid to go see Messi, and you don't want to do that. I know they have a rule, and have they come out? I haven't seen anything. Okay. Because if you're the commissioner, you're going to penalize Apple TV and all those viewers and everybody paying for the ticket more than you are Messi or Alba or anything.
Yeah. And by the way, one of the biggest games they've had there in a long time, really, with this team from Cincinnati is really good. So, second of all, a trade deadline next week for Sandy Alcantara just pitched himself right out of here with that seven innings that he just
pitched.
That's
a question, isn't it? He'll get one more start, I was thinking, before the trade deadline.
I think they said that was it.
That was it? Okay. The question, if you're the Marlins, is has he shown – would you rather hold on to the rest of the year if this is – and build up his trade value, or is someone going to come – I wouldn't think
you're not paying him a lot of money.
I wouldn't think that you're going to get maximum trade because he's had one good start. He's been He's been mostly down this year.
The ERA doesn't lie.
Right. So unless someone comes in with a big offer, I just hold on to him. And you know what? Imagine if he can put those type of performances, start stacking them up. How the Marlins could they get to 500?
Be a great story if they start sniffing. Well, they're not too many games out now, but they get back to 500 here.
I remember on opening day talking to people at the game, and
they were talking about 100 losses.
This is the worst Marlins team in history. That was the idea because they're so young, so unproven, and you know they're a surprise. They're a complete surprise.
Well, I think we all expect them to get. Let a couple guys go. Try to trade a few guys for some more prospects.
Wouldn't you trade? Was it Prez has a history of injuries? Is it Prez? That's what you really got to do.
And he's pitched well.
He's pitched well, so his trade value is up, and that'd be, you know, you get anything and move on, right?
Yeah, I just think Jesus Sanchez is going to be another name, Dave, that they're going to be. They're going to be watching to see if they can get something for him. He'll probably be on the move too. But yeah, I think we're kind of all curious to see what's going to happen with this thing and with so many guys playing well. Kyle Stowers, obviously a keeper and playing really well, and a nice pickup from Baltimore.
Huge.
He's supposed to be Norby, but he was supposed to be the star of that deal, and Stowers just is blown up.
The last
up.
Month, his numbers lead Major League Baseball, like the OPS. Yeah. And
no, it's great.
It seems like he's hitting a driving in runs or homer every game now.
They've got a coaching staff's got to get a lot of credit, starting with the manager.
Well, the question with before, and I remember asking Mattingly, is it development or drafting? What's the problem? And the answer was yes. Okay, so maybe it's both. But they've figured out how to evidently, maybe we'll see, to develop players.
According to who you've talked to and who your favorite guys are to talk to, we've heard the talent's there and it doesn't get developed in the minor league system, meaning coaching's not very good, which is – that's a weird one for me. If you're friggin' good, at some point you're going to be friggin' good and catch up from minors to move up. And they haven't. They haven't had a great results from their own guys in their minor league system. Had pretty good in pitching. We've done a pretty good job finding frontline pitching. And the second part is we just don't draft well. You hear that a lot. And then we've heard managers have not done a good job with what they've had. And then you say, well, wait a second. If you don't spend any dough, how are you going to get to where you want to? But they
all I know is Derek Jeter, his drafts, one guy made the majors, one guy. And so if the Marlins want to build through the draft, you can't have one guy in 5 years come through.
Jeter's horrible.
He's the worst GM, I think,
I, and I got to divide these up from the great Yankee shortstop and what he did and all the great highlights he showed and the plays that he made and things and the clutch hits he's had, and he was. But the guy we got was a complete disaster.
It'd be like Dan Marino going to Kansas City and being the GM, and he wasn't very good. How much should they value his Hall of Fame career with the Dodgers? I don't care that he was that good with the Yankees. I want a Yankee fan.
First of all, he didn't want to deal with people directly. He had other people actually get rid of the key guys from here, that Conine and Andre Dawson,
people skills were
Perez,
awful.
Like, dude, you're the president. You need to do that stuff directly. Heard sponsors would come. He wouldn't meet with them. And, like, he was, like.
He thought, look, he grew up with the Yankees. He thought, and everywhere they went was sellouts. And he thought that was baseball. That's not Major League Baseball. That's the Yankees. Right. And the team he was on was so good. But.
He did a horrible. I know he lives down here. He did a horrible job. He was friggin' horrible. And I don't want to take away from the Hall of Fame guy that does everything the right way and played the game the right way and was a great Yankee on top of it. The pressure of playing in New York never affected him. He was fantastic. He sucked down here. He was terrible. All right. Hey, we've got – I just want to make him clear. Like, you live down here all you want, but you can sit and blame the guy that owned the team all you want, but you weren't very good at what you did.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a reason they shoved him out. There's a reason they shoved him out.
And not too many people around the organization were big fans of his, except for the stuff I'm talking about. Respect of what you had done before, but. And he knew what he's getting into, one fan at a time. You want to go to certain things and afraid somebody's going to ask him for
his autograph.
He didn't
want to build baseball. He didn't know how to build baseball here. He thought baseball would just organically build. Because, again, he came from the Yankees,
right.
Few teams are like, there's a handful of teams like that.
Yeah. By the way, his team will be here after the six-game road trip. They'll be here. I wonder if he'll go out to see him, go hang out a little bit. Hey, right now, let's go to break. I don't really care. I was just total sarcasm. I don't really give a you-know-what if he goes. Hey, feeling stuck on the sidelines these days, anxiety, depression. Maybe leaning a little too hard on the booze. Every guy hits a rough patch, even the pros, man. Recovery Unplugged in Fort Lauderdale helps you reset with real treatment for mental health and substance abuse. Expert doctors who have helped 19,000 people in 13 years. Custom care, yeah, the music that gets through when nothing else does. No judgment, just great results. Most insurance is accepted. Hey, if you're going through it right now, it happens, man. A lot of times, things pop up that you don't expect, and it's how you handle it. Time to call an audible. If you think you need some help, call 954-737-4508 or visit recoveryunplugged.com. Recovery Unplugged. Heal out loud. All right, welcome back, and happy Friday to everybody out there. Always a fun time here, 9 o'clock hour on a Friday. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Got all the latest stuff going on as camps are all open. And, Mike, it's never boring around here. You never know what you're going to get. I saw you had some pretty strong comments on Tua when asked about Tyreek and forgiveness and everything. From it's been a hot topic nationally as well as down here on the talent versus the immaturity you get with Tyreek. What were your thoughts overall on what Tua had to say about his wide receiver?
Well, I appreciated the candor, and I think it's commonsensical. Anytime you're in any organization, but especially a football team, you've gotten through a long season, it's been a disappointment for everyone, you finally finish it up, and in the locker room immediately after the final game, one of the guys with the C on his jersey says, it's time for me to get out of here. That's not something that you easily forget about just because the guy does a Super Bowl media center, Lord, I apologize tour to try to put the toothpaste back in the tube. Football players in a locker room are more discerning than that. They can't be snowed that easily. And the trust has to be regained. It has to be earned. And it's not going to be when things are going well. The truest test for whether or not Tyreek Hill has finally changed is going to happen when the Dolphins lose by 17 points, when he gets targeted twice and believes he was open 20 times. That's going to be the key. What does he say then? How does he behave? What are his comments? What are his actions? Is he behaving consistently with this new leaf he's turning over, or is he still the same old guy? And I think Tua and the other players on the team are rightfully hesitant and reticent to see whether or not they finally have a different guy. And, you know, Joe, if I were betting on this, I think he's no different. I think 0-0 makes it different. I think if everything goes well, it makes it different. But I think when adversity rolls around, when they realize this year isn't the year, that's when we're going to see same old Tyreek Hill all over again.
That's funny you said that, because I think Mike and his coaching staff is going to go out of their way to get him the football as much as possible, and hopefully this thing looks like it did in year one and year two, where he was over 1,700 yards, and that will do it, because he does care about his numbers so much. But you might be right. I think we're all including the team. A lot of guys on that team are, let's wait and see what it looks like.
Hey, Joe, if it goes poorly for the Dolphins early, does he get traded at the deadline?
Yes, I could see that happening. If it goes real poorly for the team and for somehow – I'm going to be shocked. I mean, he was so good. I had to come on the next day. I was like, wow, he said all the right things. I hope he means them, and I hope he can – like what he just said, he follows up with, and we don't have any problems. But – yes, to your point, I think a lot of people think that if this thing heads south and he's pouting and goes back to the old Tyreek, I think they're going to see if some people might be interested in his services, yes.
Hey, people will work themselves into all sorts of knots to make excuses for a talented player, and we've seen it time and again with Tyreek Hill. We've seen it time and again with plenty of great players over the years. There's a point, though, where folks just have had enough, and the Chiefs got to that point. The Dolphins may be getting there. I think a lot of it depends upon how the season begins. Do they win? Do they lose? How does he behave if and when they lose? That's going to be the key.
Well, let's ask this, Mike. Where do you stand? We've heard a lot of national people dismiss the Dolphins and Chance. And Aaron Rodgers, 10 to 12 teams. Are the Dolphins in one of those 10 to 12 teams? Maybe not to win the Super Bowl, but to, you know.
Go deep
least,
in the playoffs?
At least go into the playoffs. Let's start there.
Well, but 10 to 12 teams to win it all.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
32 teams have a chance to make it to the playoffs. I'm not going to write off anyone this time of year. I've learned the hard way that you call a team completely unlikely, if not impossible, to make the playoffs, they make it. They make the Super Bowl. 2021, I said there's no way the Bengals make the playoffs. They almost won the Super Bowl. 23, no way the Texans make the playoffs. They win the division, make it to the Final Eight. Every team with the benefit of 0-0 and all the things that can go your way, when the season begins, you get a win, you get a win, you steal one here, you steal one there, you get a schedule that has a bunch of 1 o'clock Eastern games on Sunday and nobody notices that you're winning games. Nobody takes you seriously. You're not a measuring stick team. You're not a team that teams are going to be up for. Oh, this is a bye week for us. Oh, wait, what happened? We lost to them. And that builds momentum. You get off to a good start, a bad team suddenly becomes a good team, and everything changes. And the flip side is true as well. A team that we're looking at, hey, they're pretty good. Well, if they start off 1-4, the wheels could come off. So I'm not going to say the Dolphins have no chance to make the playoffs. But if there are 10 to 12 teams currently in the Super Bowl window, the Dolphins are not one of them. The Steelers could make a straight-faced argument. They should get spot number 12. But when you start looking around the league, it's like coming up with top 10 quarterbacks. You know, oh, he's a top 10 quarterback. You start listing all the top 10 quarterbacks. You got 20 top 10 quarterbacks. The Steelers are not one of the top 10 teams in the league. They're not one of the 11 top 10 teams in the league. They're maybe, possibly, number 12 if you give them the spot over the Packers, the Vikings, the Chargers, the Broncos, because there are 11 teams clearly better than the Steelers right now, even with Aaron Rodgers.
Mike, this other story that's kind of breaking in our business here, and it's been going on for a while, but it looks like it's going to happen real soon. There's so many different parts to it. ESPN going to take over NFL Network. And first thing I think about knowing all the guys, there are a lot of them on NFL Network that come on with us here. All those guys going to be out of a job. Second of all, is there money going to be involved? How does this thing go about? And what could the NFL owners, when they hear this, what's in it for them?
This is a testament to the power of the National Football League. Let's go back to 2003. They unveil NFL Network with grandiose plans of cable operators bending over backward to give high subscription fees to have NFL Network on the basic cable package. And they had to fight and scratch and claw. You know, it's just a bunch of NFL films, content, and studio shows for the first few years. Nobody cares about that. Then they come up with the Thursday night late season package. That's how Thursday Night Football got started.
That's
right. It was a way to prop up NFL Network because nobody gave a crap about NFL Network. And even then, with a partial season package, nobody cares about NFL Network. And it has continued. And the NFL is so powerful that it can take a property that it would love to dump and hand it to ESPN for 10% equity in the company. It's amazing.
Wow.
Now, look, this is one of those transactions where it doesn't make sense on paper. Here's where it makes sense. There's no way ESPN's never going to have an NFL package now that the NFL is going to own 10% of ESPN. There's no way. And look at what's coming after 2029. And I'm realistic about it. NBC could be out of the NFL business again. And I would be out of business with NBC. Why do I stay there if NBC doesn't have an NFL package? But one of the streamers could steal Sunday Night Football. They could make an offer that there's no way NBC is ever going to match, and that could happen. ESPN's protected against that now.
Wow.
Being in bed with the NFL and giving up 10% of the company to be in bed with the NFL.
What's that worth, that 10%? Anybody put a price on that just for that?
I have no idea,
yeah.
Frankly. Who really knows at this point where cable is dying, streaming is the king, ESPN's got the new direct-to-consumer product coming out to go along with ESPN Plus and Disney Plus and this Plus and that Plus. And that's the other thing, too. You mentioned what's going to happen to the people at NFL Network. Hell, they've been systematically letting everyone go.
Yeah, that's true.
So ESPN's going to take over NFL Network. What are they going to do? They're going to program it? What are they going to program it with? Old games, NFL films, features.
Yep.
I mean, that's all NFL Network is. Hey, you want to watch an old game? You watch it on NFL Network. You want to watch an NFL films feature? You watch it there. Meanwhile, you can see any of that stuff whenever you want on YouTube.
Right.
Where's the next big streaming money coming from? I'm always curious. I'm seeing Netflix is going live TV.
They want more.
They want more. Everybody seems to want more, and the NFL is just like the prices of franchises just keeps going up because of this, right?
Oh, absolutely. There was a time when there were the broadcast networks and the cable companies, and there was always one or two more than there were packages. And that always allowed the NFL to keep doing record deals. And it was really Fox in 1994 that started this. The whole TV money thing was not going well for the NFL until Fox came along and stole the CBS NFC Sunday afternoon package. But ever since then, there's always more. One more. All you need is one more. And then you can keep putting your thumb on the scale and getting more and more money. And now you've got Netflix, you've got Apple, you've got YouTube, you've got these massive companies, and Amazon's already got its own package, these massive companies that are in position to compete with the broadcast networks. And you know, the balance that the NFL is going to have to strike. You can't take too many games off of three-letter broadcast, because at some point Congress is going to take away your broadcast antitrust exemption. And there's already questions whether or not that even applies to these streaming deals. You could make the argument that the broadcast antitrust exemption from 1961 doesn't even apply to cable, much less streaming. And that could be an antitrust issue for the NFL at some point. But point is this, there are more asses than seats when it comes to broadcast packages, and the NFL has the right to pull the plug on all of the deals as of the expiration of the 2029 season. No one expects them to stand pat through 2033. And all those deals are going to be out there. And back to ESPN, they are now protected because the NFL owns 10% of the company, or at least they will once this deal is done.
Hey, we got to talk about the Christian Wilkins one. Boy, I was surprised. Ends up going there. Got himself a lot of guaranteed money, but it didn't end real pretty. The Jones fracture, broken foot, and the Raiders are going to fight this last $35 million guaranteed to him. There's going to be a grievance. I guess they thought he didn't do all the things he was supposed to try to save some money. How does that play out?
Who knows? And right now I've got the Christian Wilkins contract with the Raiders. I'm looking at the default language. We've heard a lot about default language in the Shamar Stewart impasse with the Bengals. It rarely gets invoked, but that's why it's there for situations like this, where the relationship falls apart for whatever reason. Is there a dispute over whether or not he should have had another procedure to repair the Jones fracture? There may be. Is there more to this story? Is there something else that may have happened that the Raiders are trying to shoehorn into this to avoid paying him guarantees? That's possible as well. And there's always a disconnect between the things I hear and the things I can say, but it may be there's more to this one, or at least the Raiders are going to try to make it that there's more to this one than just the issue of whether or not he did everything he could to rehab. And meanwhile, he's a free agent. And he can go sign with anyone now. And it could be another team says, this foot's fine, let's go. I mean, this may just be as simple as the new regime in Las Vegas doesn't want this guy around. And let's find a way to stick it to him. And let's find a way to not have to pay him. And they may be absolutely wrong. I was talking to somebody about it last night. It's like, look, we have to remember, this is the Raiders. And dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. They shouldn't have signed him to a four-year, $110 million contract. And now maybe they're unbundling with him in a way that's going to create issues. But it's a simple proposition. Hey, we own $35 million. Okay, let's say we don't, and let's fight it out. It's not like we're going to owe him $70 million if we're wrong. We're just going to pay him the money we would have owed him anyway. And I think a lot of teams will err on the side of trying to stick it to a guy, because what's the downside? You're just going to have to pay him what you would have had to pay him anyway.
Boy, this thing got his dad, Al Davis, written all over. This would be an Al Davis special going back.
Overhead projector, right?
Yeah.
Remember when he brought out the overhead projector with Lane Kiffin? Yeah.
Hey, last shot here. Bill Belichick. Boy, I'll tell you what, selling a lot of tickets and the star of the show at the ACC meetings. How does this thing end this year? Because a lot of the coaches are stroking him. We're lucky he's one of the greatest coaches. I feel like a lot of guys were just setting him up in case he doesn't have a great year, because I don't know what kind of talent he has. How do you think this plays out in North Carolina this year?
Greatest game day coach in football history, from the standpoint of taking the players he has and getting them ready to face the players that they will be confronted with. The problem is, as it relates to talent acquisition, identification, and development, he's not the greatest ever. He's anything but the greatest ever. He's had to make up for, with his game day skills, the fact that he doesn't fully identify, draft, develop, et cetera. Look at their struggles all of his years he was in New England drafting and developing receivers. So I think that's going to be the issue here, because he's had to go out and rebuild this team. Well, is he making the right decisions? Is he going to develop these guys? Is he going to be patient with an 18, 19-year-old who's still trying to figure all this out? We'll find out. I'm skeptical because I saw what happened to the Patriots after Tom Brady left. And if he finds a Tom Brady at North Carolina, the problem is he ain't staying there 20 years.
No.
He's going to have him for a blink of an eye, and then he's going to have to go find another one.
No. That guy's down here having a good time right now. You're exactly right. Hey, Mike, thank you. Really appreciate you coming on this morning.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us to talk a little bit about A lot of different things, man.
Doesn't Belichick get any credit for the first years of Tom Brady when he wasn't Tom Brady and they won Super Bowls? I mean, it's like everybody.
You know what's funny?
Everybody's forgotten that.
When you think of Bill Belichick, I think of getting the most out of the guys he has. You agree with that, right?
Yes.
He was right on that. Second thing is, he made a lot of mistakes in drafts, and he was able to cover them up by getting guys from the Dolphins like Wes Welker and Randy Moss from the Raiders who thought he was done, and he comes back, and they go, oh, my God, he still got that gear over the top.
Well, and he had to rebuild that team over 17 years. He had to rebuild it four or five times.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but everybody remembers how you go out. That's how it is in sports, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and it got ugly.
Apparently that relationship's not real great with the owner and the head coach.
And it's amazing how childish men in their 70s can still be,
hey,
isn't it?
Dave, I got to ask you a question. I'm so glad you brought that up here. We got a second before we go to Alan Poupart from SI.com to talk about the Dolphins. If you've got a guy you're doing, you've done books with everybody. You've done with quarterbacks and head coaches and Jimmy. If you realize that, oh, my God, he's not going to talk about this guy and it'd be great for the book, as in Bill's not going to talk about Robert Kraft, don't you say, hey, Bill, just I'm doing what you want. Do you tell him about substance of something or do you stay away from that?
I'm guessing what happened in that situation is Bill said going into it, I'm not going to talk about Robert Kraft. And that was part of the agreement. Like Jimmy, when we went into the agreement, he said, I'm not going to go on a national book tour. Okay, so that was, he talked to the publisher, I'm not going to go on the national book tour. You know, I'll do select things. But so, I that's part of the agreement of doing the book. So I would assume Belichick said their topic's off limits. And yeah, if you want to do the book, we'll still do the book.
Well, listen, we got Dolphins training camp open to the public tomorrow for everybody going out there. Looking forward to seeing a full practice myself tomorrow. We got Alan Poupart's going to talk about the Miami Dolphins. From SI.com right after this.